Hello again. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. What a lovely morning it is. Outside it's sparkling. The light is beginning to come up. And slowly but surely, the new day is here. And what a glorious thing it is that day by day, the day reveals the Lord Jesus. And his presence is always clear, clean, and glorious. And I love the new day early in the morning. You look out at the frost and you realize that you have billions of dollars. You're worth more than the richest man in the world because all of those sparkling little pieces are God's rich blessing to you. I know that they will melt away, but so will all riches melt away eventually. I'm just praying that you will have the beauty of the presence of Jesus with you moment by moment. My focus is upon Christmas and upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people thought that God would send his only begotten Son into the world with majesty and the flare of trumpets, and people would worship this great young man of God. But man looketh on the outward appearance and forgets the inward appearance, and God thinks about the heart. Now, what I'm going to say today is all about the heart. It's not really so much the thinking of what I see with my eyes. The psalmist says, I go unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. What happens in the hills when we go there? We are alone. It is quiet. It is wonderfully still. And we can open our hearts, open our minds, and rejoice in the presence of Jesus. This is a great opportunity for all of us to rejoice in him and to be kept by him, and for him to feed us with the living bread. And if our thirst is great and we're not quenched in our thirst in our spiritual lives, he will come and give us the quenching of the thirst of our souls. But quietly and gently, when I'm in the hills, I can just be still and know that he is God. Now, Pharaoh and all the people with him were looking for this thing to happen. They were expecting something to happen because the scribes and the Pharisees knew the scriptures, and the prophets of the day understood that Jesus would come. As today, we know Jesus is returning. We simply don't know when nor how. Now, some of the how has been revealed to us, but not all of it. Enough to wet our whistle, as it were, and to make us very curious, but we don't know the when. The date is not set in our hearts, it's in God's heart. And the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is not etched in the memory bank of any of us, it is etched in the memory bank of God, who never changes, who never alters, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me take you to the hills. Come with me, and let's pretend for a few moments we're hiking in the hills, alone, without anyone else but Jesus, alone, without anyone else but the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Let's go with him, and let's snuggle up close to him. Let him hold your hand and lead you through into the next year, lead you through into the next experience, and take you through that experience, be it tragic good or bad. Let him deal with you. Now, it's easy for me to sit here and say that, and it's easy for me to make the waves of noise to take this tune to you. But we need to understand that we need to look up into the sky. There was a morning when I was closely thinking about the things of God, and suddenly I thought, I wonder what's going on outside. It was about 2 o'clock perhaps in the morning, and I went out and stood on the porch, and I watched for about 15 minutes a shower of meteors tearing across the sky faster than I could keep up with my vision. And they were just glorious, and the sky became a cathedral of light. And the lights from those meteors that were driving from the east to the west was absolutely phenomenal. I had never seen such a display of the glory of God. Eventually, it was so cold out there that I had to come indoors and put a jacket on. But when I went back, it was still going on. I suppose one has to have a sort of a nocturnal experience like that to remind us all individually that God is on his throne and Jesus is the light of this world. And the light of this world illuminates the world as God wants to look at it. All around us, people were sleeping. All around us, people were way off somewhere. All around us, everybody was busy, I suppose, but sleep had come to most. But I was watching God reveal his glory. Now, no man has looked at God at any time and lived, but God reveals his glory when we're looking. So which way shall we look? East, west, north, south, up, down? How shall we look? Jesus said this. He said, those that farm, they look at the sky and they say, it's going to be a good day for farming tomorrow. There used to be a little rhyme that people would say in England, the red sky at night is shepherd's delight. When the sun is sinking in the west, the sky turns red. That means tomorrow's weather will be really lovely. I used to live very much by that when I would be in the mountains. But let's walk in the mountains, let's climb some of the rugged peaks. Let's eventually reach a place where no one else is going to disturb us, but God can talk to us. And in the quietness of that experience, in the seclusion and solitude of just looking into the sky, we see things that are beyond our imagination. There's a cloud and it looks like a lion. And behind it, there's another cloud and it looks like a sheep. And we're reminded of the scripture that says there comes a time when the lion will lay down with the sheep and graze side by side without eating the sheep, and they will be friendly. What a thing to say. I think you have to go to the sky and look into the sky and see that. Now, I don't want anybody saying I'm an astrologist, and I certainly don't want people to think that I gain what simple wisdom I may possibly have by counting the stars. I don't do that. But I do go to the place where I shall see something of God. And it's a great treasure to go out before it's light and before the dawn breaks and to look into the sky, or soon after it's become dark and we look up into the sky and see how all these things are coming about. Now, there were some wise men, and they were astrologers, and they studied the stars, and they knew that the scriptures said that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And they saw, the Bible says, his star. And they saw it in the east, and they followed it. And as the star went before them, it led them all the way out to Jerusalem. Now, then kicked in not a spiritual understanding of what they had seen. In fact, far from it. But what kicked in next was the logic of man. If once in Royal David City, in that lowly cattle shed, a king was to be born, it wouldn't be in a lowly cattle shed, it would be in the palace. It would be where the giants of society met, and Jesus, the Son of God, would be born there, because they knew he would be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They knew this, so they went to the palace. Now, Herod was not a happy camper. They said, "Where is this king of the Jews? Where is he being born?" And you know, Herod knew about the scriptures, even though he was not a believer in God or Christ Jesus. He wasn't prepared to put his crown on the floor and say, "Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb is upon the throne." He was not prepared to put Jesus first. He was not prepared to allow Jesus Christ to take the leadership of his country. He was not prepared to do that. And so in his political jargon and all his bits and pieces, he called the wise men to him. And he said, "Well, now, this is a phenomena. When you see this star, follow it to wherever it goes. And then when you find the baby, come and tell me." And he said this, says the Bible, so that he could go not to worship Jesus, but to destroy Jesus and to wipe him out when he was still a child. The nearest thing that comes to this is Moses. Moses was just a tiny little fella. His mother hid him. She hid him in a basket that she made with reeds and put tar on the outside to waterproof it. And she put it in the reeds so that she would hide the child from the work of Pharaoh, who said, "Kill every child of the Hebrew people, kill them all of them up to 2 years old, kill these children." It's interesting to me to see through history how God has preserved his people. Israel was scattered all over the world. Jewish people have lived in the various societies and been integrated in all societies, and high in order. For instance, most of the finances of the world are run by Jewish people, which is an incredible thought. Some of the most gifted people, from the violinist to the ballerina, from the person that can invent medical help and interesting things that they can do to the body to make it function, from there all the way to looking after babies. The brain power of the Jewish people is absolutely outstanding. It's way beyond the average. There have been more Nobel Peace Prizes and other things like that given to Jewish people in the last 50 years than ever before. It's amazing how God has blessed these people, and with the blessing has come his presence. Well, let's sit down for a moment. Let's pretend we're on the top, on the pinnacle of a large rock, and we're looking into the face of eternity, and we're looking at the hills, and we're looking up into the sky. The wise men made a good inquiry, went to the logical place, but they made a mistake. This was a God thing, if I dare use that phrase. This was between those that would see what God is doing and the world. And God was producing his only begotten Son. He said, "They will surely honor my Son." Who's going to kill a baby? What significance would it have? And so Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And the interesting thing is that these people that came from the east were not Jewish. They were wise men, men who were astrologers, and they read by looking at the sky his star, and it settled over a stable. And I think they were not a little astonished that when they went into the stable, it was full of the brightness of the presence of God, and they were humbled immediately. These men were of high standing in their various countries and the various thinking, and they were really splendid fellows. But they fell upon their knees and worshipped the child, Jesus. All because they watched a star. All because they understood that that star would shine in the east and take them all the way through the desert places, all the way through the experiences of life, and will bring them to the Son of God. Your life is already settled. Mine is. And God has put his star in our hearts and has shone a great light. Trust my Son. Repent. Believe on him. For in him I am well pleased, said God, when the disciples were with Jesus in a lonely place. Now, I don't believe for one minute that in the beautiful, great services that we put on at Christmas and in the great singing of Handel's Messiah and in the great beauty of all the things that we do, you'll find God. I believe he's there, but we don't find him. Or there would be repentance galore through all the lands in all the world. Jesus gave to the musicians of the past great talent to write music that would stir the soul, and the soul being stirred would be open to the living God, to the praise of him who loved them and gave himself for them. But it didn't do that. It stirred their emotions. It still stirs the emotions of mankind. But they need to go out and look at the sky. They need to look up into the sky. And they need to see in the sky, because from the sky comes Jesus. The chariots will come in the sky. Jesus will lead his armies in the sky. And all that Satan has done to keep our attention on earth, why, he will suddenly find himself without much thought, and people won't attend him, because from the sky comes Jesus. One of the things that I thought was very beautiful when I first came to this country, I was up in Washington, and I can't remember where it is, actually. And there was a beautiful, beautiful church made out of wood and handmade, and put together, and it was built around a tree. And it was simply a most beautiful and interesting church. They had an altar, they had candles, but there was this big tree that grew out of the middle of the congregation and went up through the roof and into the sky. And it was beautiful. It was totally beautiful. The wood was polished. It was lovely. And I sat in that place and I had a great time with the Lord. And yet, something was missing. And as I was looking, perhaps it was the artist in me, came to the fore, and my thinking was this: this is wonderful. This is beautiful. But it's all earthly. There wasn't anything that was blue or golden or white in the entire building. And I missed the colors that would cause my heart to leap with joy and take me up into a new celestial thinking and keep me in that celestial bond and cause me to look for Jesus. We find that Jesus is coming in the clouds. The book of Revelation tells us that he will come. His feet will touch the top of the mountains, and Satan will be his footstool. And though he may grumble and groan and moan and make a great fuss and cause tremendous confusion and cause people to be delighted with his fighting instead of being delighted with the peace that Jesus brings, though Satan will do that in the last days and there will be a tremendous conflagration and fight, Jesus will win. And we who trust Jesus are on the winning side. We can't lose. The dead shall rise. People will come from the cemeteries, those that have been scattered in ashes. Those ashes are going to come together. I don't know how this happens, but they're going to come together, and people are going to be resurrected to meet Jesus in the sky. And there will be this tremendous singing, I suppose. There will be the noise of heaven of all those that Jesus has saved over the millenniums and brought to the place where they love him and he loves them and he expresses his love toward them and he crushes Satan's domain. Hell cannot do anything to Jesus. He has fought the wickedness of death. He has fought it. He has won because he came back from the dead. Jesus is resurrected right now, this moment, and he's waiting to come. Look unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Look into the sky and see the beauty of God. Take your eyes off the earthly things. Look up and see Jesus. Oh, if you listen, your mind can take you so that you can hear the chariots rumbling. You can hear the minions of heaven simply rejoicing in Jesus. And as they rejoice in the presence of Jesus, they also rejoice in one another. Well, now this brings me to the last thought. Looking up into the heavens from whence cometh our help, and looking into the celestial presence of Jesus, we don't see Jesus in the sky. We don't see him face to face, but our hearts are warmed and our souls are refreshed, and we become people born again, looking for a new Jerusalem, looking for a new world, looking for new habitation. And God has covered the lot. He said, you have to understand, in my house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, said Jesus, I would have told you, and I come to let you know I've a place arranged for you. And I love the word mansions over the word apartment. Some people have modernized what he said to be an apartment. And one person described it to me this way. Well, God doesn't want all these buildings. Mansions take up such a great chunk of area. That's human thinking. That's earthly thinking. In my Father's house are many mansions. Within the house there are mansions. And I go to be with Jesus in those mansions. I have a friend. He is dying. He is only 57 or thereabout. We're all sad because we love him. And we're so selfish we want to keep him. I had a friend years ago. She used to say, sudden death, sudden glory. And at 31, she entered the portals of heaven and found the glory of Jesus. Oh, those of you listening to me, look up into the sky. And see what God will say to you. See, broaden your horizon. It is not on the things of earth. They grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Pray with me, will you? Lord, adjust our vision, please, that we may look unto you as our helper, as our friend, as our lover and companion. Keep us in your heart. This day, show us the next step that we must take by faith, trusting you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. Thank you so much. God be with you. Bye-bye.